Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Did Gaudiya Chandra read text 18 yesterday? Oh. So reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 2, Ajamil, delivered by the Vishnu Dutas, text number 19. Yata agadam virya tamam upayuktam yadrichaya aja ajanata api atma gunam koryat mantra api udarita yathagadam viryatamam upayuktam yadrichaya ajanatopyatma gunam koryad mantrop yudarita yathagadam viryatamam upayuktam yadrichaya ajanatopyatma gunam Koryan mantrop yudarita. Lady? Ladies? Tagadam viryatamam Upayutam udrishchaya Janato vyat vatmugunam Koran mantropya darita Yata just like Agadam medicine Viryatamam very powerful Upayuktam properly taken, yadrichchaya, somehow or another, ajanata, by a person without knowledge, api, even, Atmagunam, its own potency. Koryat, manifests. Mantra, the Hare Krishna mantra. Api, also. Udarita, chanted. Purport. If a person unaware of the effective potency of a certain medicine takes that medicine or is forced to take it, it will act even without his knowledge because its potency does not depend on the patient's understanding. Similarly, even though one does not know the value of chanting the holy name of the Lord, if one chants knowingly or unknowingly, chanting will be very effective. Please repeat. If a person unaware of the effective potency of a certain medicine takes that medicine or is forced to take it, it will act even without his knowledge because its potency does not depend on the patient's understanding. Similarly, even though one does not know the value of chanting the holy name of the Lord, if one chants knowingly or unknowingly, the chanting will be very effective. Purport. In the Western countries, where the Hare Krishna mantra is spreading, learned scholars and other thoughtful men are realizing its effectiveness. For example, Dr. J. Stilson Judah, a learned scholar, has been very much attracted to this movement because he has actually seen that it is turning hippies addicted to drugs into pure Vaishnavas who voluntarily become servants of Krishna and humanity. Even a few years ago, such hippies did not know the Hare Krishna mantra, but now they are chanting it and becoming pure Vaishnavas. They are becoming free from all sinful activities such as illicit sex, intoxication, meat eating, and gambling. This is practical proof of the effectiveness of the Hare Krishna movement, which is supported in this verse. One may or may not know the value of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, but if somehow or another one chants it, he will immediately be purified, just as one who takes a potent medicine will feel its effect, regardless of whether he takes it knowingly or unknowingly. So the verse again. Yatagadam viryatamam upayuktam yadrichaya Ajanatop yatma gunam kuryad mantrop udarita. If a person unaware of the effective potency of a certain medicine takes that medicine and is forced to take it, it will act even without his knowledge, because this potency does not depend on the patient's understanding. Similarly, even though one does not know the value of chanting the holy name of the Lord, when chants knowingly or unknowingly, chanting will be very effective. Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutai Srimati Bhakti Viranta Swamita Namane Namaste Sarasutundeve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paskatyade Siddharana. Here the effectiveness of chanting Hare Krishna is glorified. But of course, it's not the only factor, because we have different instances where people chant Hare Krishna and they don't become purified. Therefore, here the word used, I believe, is yuktam, upayuktam. Upayuktam, properly taken. Because there are three different stages of chanting Hare Krishna. One is called namaparad, one is called Namabhas, and the other is Shudanam, and then there is Bhavanam and Premanam. Those who are chanting Hare Krishna and Namaparad, instead of becoming purified, they're becoming putrefied, according to the... Or, as we also hear that in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, if one chants Hare Krishna offensively, then the result of, instead of watering the bhakti lata bij will be watering the creepers that grow around it. Therefore, upayuktam, not only the Hare Krishna mantra should be chanted, but it should be chanted at Nivritta Tarashera Upagiyamanas Bhavosujas Chotra Manopi Ramat. Nivritta Tarashera. That certainly it will free us hearing Bhagavatam or chanting Hare Krishna. It will free us from all kinds of materialistic consciousness. But it has to be received in the simple succession, how we're chanting Hare Krishna. If it's received in the simple succession, the holy names, and receiving the holy names in the simple succession means the whole philosophy that goes along with it. There is a awareness or a philosophy that goes along with chanting Hare Krishna. Namely, we're chanting to call out to Srimati Radharani and to Krishna to kindly engage us in their loving service. But we can only call out as we're sincere in our desire to engage in Krishna's loving service. If we actually don't know what Krishna's loving service is, then why will we call out for it very sincerely? Here we have Ajamil. He was a dutiful Brahmin in his previous, in his childhood. But he became corrupted by a prostitute, and therefore after some time, he became very degraded. But at the end of his life, by his good fortune, he had named his son Narayan, and he was calling for his son first. Well, first he was calling for his son Narayan, and then ultimately he was calling for Narayan himself. And therefore the Vishnu Dutas came. Unless he had had some previous experience as a dutiful Brahmin worshipping Lord Narayan, even if he had named his son Narayan, it's doubtful he would have gotten any help from the Vishnu Dutas. The example is given just like one, I think I gave this example before, one Barba, well actually one lady, she had a goat named Narayan. And the goat died. And she was very upset, and therefore in order to pacify her mind, she decided to go and hear a Krishna Katha at one Bhagavat Saptaha. Going to the Bhagavat Saptaha, she noticed that the speaker had a beard which exactly looked like her, the beard of her goat that had recently died, whose name was Radha. So whenever she looked at the speaker's beard, immediately she began to break into tears. Similarly, whenever the man, the Bhagavad Saptaha reader, mentioned the name Radha, immediately she remembered her goat and began profusely crying. So this went on for 7 days. She was constantly in tears, looking at the speaker and hearing the name of Radha and crying incessantly. So at the end of the 7 days, the speaker came up and offered his obeisances before her, saying, "Oh, my dear lady, you are so advanced in devotional service. You have such great feeling for the Lord and his devotees." So she said, "Well, I don't know. Why do you think like that?" "Because whenever you looked at me, you began to cry. And whenever I said the name of Radha, you broke into tears." She said, "Yes." She said, I had a goat. Her name was Radha. And she had a beard that looks exactly like yours. So whenever I looked at you, I immediately remembered my goat, Radha. And whenever I heard the name of Radha, immediately I remembered my precious goat. And therefore I became overwhelmed with sentiment and began to cry incessantly. Therefore, unless we understand who Srimati Radharani is, then we'll remember, as Prabhupada said, one Barba, in this Chaitanya Charitamrita, one Barba had a wife, his name was Radha. And whenever he heard the name of Radha, he'd remember his pastimes with his wife, his lusty pastimes. So such association is not purifying. In other words, without understanding the Siddhanta, there's only some level of real association we're getting. What to speak if we have the wrong Siddhanta? If we have the wrong understanding, like the Mayavadis, then we won't become purified, we'll actually become, our progress will be impeded. But at least if one has no philosophy, or, for instance, Ajamiyo was chanting, but he wasn't chanting to get free from his offenses or his sinful activities. He was chanting great hopelessness or helplessness, calling out for his son first and then Narayan. So in that helplessness, he had no other philosophy that there was no Narayan or that we're all Narayan or it doesn't matter who Narayan is. No, he had some faith from his childhood that Narayan was God and that if he called out his name, he'd actually be protected by Narayan. On the other hand, we have people going all around the world nowadays, chanting the holy names, even taking credit for bringing the holy names to the Western world. But they're Pakamayavadis. They don't have any faith in Krishna's name or in any name for God. It is simply a musical exhibition. So such persons, obviously, they're not becoming purified. And the people who hear from them, they're not becoming purified. They're simply becoming, either it's some entertainment for them, or if they're unfortunate enough to hear any philosophy coming from these people, then they're becoming bewildered by the illusory energy. Therefore, nivrittitarasharabhagiyamanas bhavosujas. If we hear the knowledge coming into simple succession, then it acts like medicine. And if we don't hear the knowledge coming into simple succession, as explained here, if we're just innocent, we don't know anything, it'll have some effect. Just like the Muslim, when he was being attacked by the boar, he was calling out, haram, haram, means abominable. I mean, if you're going to be killed, if a Muslim is going to be killed, he'd rather not be killed by a boar, who he considers quite unclean. Therefore, calling out haram, he became purified. Because somehow or another, haram, just like Valmiki, he was asked to chant Mara, and it turned into Hari Ram. So haram has the name of Ram, and therefore he got some benefit, and he was chanting it so sincerely. He got the benefit he got of Shuddha. Well, it was Namabhas, but it is not offensive. I guess it's called Shuddha Namabhas. But that doesn't mean that he went back to the spiritual world to associate with Ram. It means that one can get up to the platform of liberation from material concepts by chanting Hari Ram. Just like they have some hotel here called the Ramananda Inn or something, Ram Inn, Ramana Inn. So people work there may all day long be talking about the Raman Inn and chanting the name of Ram. But that doesn't mean they're going back to Godhead at the end of their job. When they retire, they go back to Godhead after chanting the name of Ram all day. Just like, for instance, there was one Brahmin who was accompanying Gopal Bhatt Goswami to Jagannath Puri, and his name was Ramdas. All day long he was chanting Ram, 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 incessantly, 24 hours a day. And he was serving, he somehow or another came in contact with Gopal Bhatt, who was going on pilgrimage to see Lord Chaitanya and Jagannath Puri, accompanying him and serving him day and night. Although Gopal Bhatt Goswami was very reluctant to have anyone serve him somehow or another, because this devotee, or this Brahmin, was insistent, Ramdas, in serving him, he allowed. When Gopal Bhatt came to Jagannath Puri, Lord Chaitanya saw him, embraced him, and they had many intimate dealings in devotional service. Finally, one day, on the recommendation of Gopal Bhatt, Ramdas had darshan of Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya didn't give him any importance, although he was constantly chanting the name of Ram. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he realized that this person, although he's apparently a devotee, but actually he's an impersonalist. He's chanting Ram, but his idea is that he wants to become Ram. Not that he's chanting Ram with devotion, wanting to serve Ram. He wants to be Ram. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada, sometimes in his tours, he'd be come upon different persons who were recommended or who were praised as great advanced Mahabhagavats. And simply he'd ask them, you know, who is your spiritual master? And often they'd say, I'm directly in contact with Ram or with Krishna. I don't need a spiritual master. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada would simply dismiss these people as insignificant because they were not connected with Krishna's devotees in disciplic succession. Therefore, their knowledge was more or less, he considered to be useless, and their pretension of devotion. Therefore, we have to learn how to chant Hare Krishna in the same mood as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, following, and therefore we're given the instructions in disciplic succession from the six Goswamis, how to chant in that mood, how to live in that mood, how to think in that mood, how to see things in that mood, so we can chant in that mood. It is not that anyone comes to the temple and chants Hare Krishna, although sometimes, and therefore he goes immediately back to the spiritual world. Sometimes even the devotees, they think, well, let me somehow or another get this person to touch the book and then he'll become purified. Yes, he will become purified to some extent, agyata sukriti, but his touching the book may not be the same, for instance, as Gadadhara. Gadadhara went to the Kazi's place. This Kazi was a meat eater, Brahmin killer, cow killer, most sinful, abominable person. People were afraid even to look at him, what to speak of, touch his shadow and become contaminated by it. But late at night, Gadadhara Das, he went to the house of this Kazi, and in a loud voice he cried out, "Where is that Kazi? Where is that Kazi? I'm going to cut his head off." This is not, most people wouldn't think of doing this thing to the Kazi because their head would rapidly disappear from their head. But Gadadhara Das was so fearless, in the middle of the night he woke up the Kazi screaming, "Where is this Kazi? I'm going to cut his head off." So the Kazi came, and greatly furious, to chastise whoever had woken him up from sleep, found Gadadhara Das in his house, and he said, "Oh Gadadhara, why don't you just go to sleep? Why are you disturbing me?" Because he was such a pure devotee that even the Kazi couldn't get angry at him. So Gadadhara said, "Yes, I'll go back, I'll leave you, but just chant Hare Krishna once." So the Kazi said, "Oh, just let me go to sleep. Tomorrow I'll chant Hare Krishna." So Gadadhara began to dance in ecstasy. He's chanted. But I don't think we should imitate Gadadhara Das. Because such personalities, when they induce people to chant Hare Krishna, it has great potency. Just like Murari Gupta Chaitanya Das. He was so purified, so advanced devotee, that he could go into the jungle and find tigers, ferocious tigers, and slap them on their face and take venomous serpents and play with them on his lap. And sometimes he would go and eat the water for 3 days at a time chanting Hare Krishna without coming up. So until we're at that level, we should not imitate Murari Chaitanya Das. Go into the forest and look for some tiger, or go to the zoo and look for some venomous snake and play with it, or even go into the underneath our bathtub for 3 days and catch up on our rounds. it would not be advised because we're simply not on that level of spiritual attainment. Therefore, ourselves, although it's encouraging to hear how the holy names can deliver one, but we also have to realize that it may give someone some benefit. It may even deliver someone like that Muslim who's chanting haram, or it may deliver to some extent someone like Ajamil, but as Prabhupada writes in the Nectar Devotion, there are many fantastic glorifications, amazing glorifications of the processes of devotional service, but that doesn't mean that anyone and everyone who chants the holy name or worships the deity immediately gets the full benefit of chanting Hare Krishna or full benefit of worshiping the deities or hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Some people it may occur to, and these descriptions are necessary, this glorification is necessary, just to encourage people to chant the holy name, to worship the deities, to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, serve the devotees. But it's not that everyone, all the time will get exactly the same benefit. The mouse who was in the temple, and one of the lamps, this temple was full of lamps, and one of them was about to go out, but the mouse's tail caught on fire, and with its tail, it lit the candle that was about to go out, and therefore it received the benefit of devotional service in the temple. At the end of its life, it went back to the spiritual world. Now, of course, we'd have to examine who was this mouse in his past lifetime. Otherwise, you know, it's not that we should just fill the temple room with lamps and mice and liberate so many mice from the back to the spiritual world. Or in that story of Lord Jagannath, Nila Madhava, how the Brahmin was looking for Nila Madhava and came to this lake. And in the lake, one crow fell into the lake, was sitting on the branch of a tree, died, fell into the lake. And then in this lake was some spiritual energy or something, so that the crow manifested spiritual body, the soul in the crow's body, manifested spiritual body and went back to Vaikuntha. So this Brahmin, Vishvasu, I believe his name was. That was the fisherman. Who was the Brahmin? Does anyone remember? Vishvavasu, he wasn't the fisherman? What's that? I couldn't hear. We have an echo here. Vidyapati. So Vidyapati decided, I'm going to dive into the lake too. Because after all, it'd be a lot easier than chanting 16 rounds a day. So he's about to do it, and Nila Madhava hears this verse, don't jump into the lake, first bring the king here. And by the end of the story, we don't hear anything else about the lake. Maybe if someone could find the lake, let us know. Sure, all of us would like to go to swim in it. In any case, such a fantastic opportunity to get forearms and go back to the spiritual world or whatever. And he didn't take it. Instead, he followed the Lord's instructions. So similarly, our business is not simply to manifest forearms and go back to the spiritual world by chanting one time the holy name. Our business is to follow Krishna's instructions in the simple succession, try to chant the holy name offenselessly and render some service, and as much as Krishna sees we're sincere, then he'll reciprocate with us and we'll make some spiritual progress. But we should be a little cautious to think that I don't really have to study this philosophy, I don't really have to improve my devotional service. Somehow or another, the holy name is so powerful that some miracle will happen, some good fairy will come, wave her magic wand, and I'll go back to the spiritual world at the end of the life. Many times we hear the devotees say, oh, he went back to Godhead. Of course, we may not be back to Godhead ourselves to find out whether or not they're also there with us. And if someone says, I don't believe you, how are they going to prove it? Prove it to me that he didn't go back to Godhead. But it's not very important, actually, whether someone went back to Godhead or not. What's important is if we're engaged in devotional service, and if we're engaged in devotional service in disciple succession, then only time separates us if we're sincerely endeavoring to make some progress. And gradually, by the mercy of Guru and Krishna and the devotees, then gradually we will make some progress, and we will gradually understand the potency of the holy name. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
Face the tiger.
Oh, that's good.
Is there something wrong with me?
You're not advanced enough. You should pretend. Well, some people would think like that, you know. How long have you been chanting Hare Krishna? Oh, for 40 years. And you're still not on the Murari Gupta's platform. Well, I have a way that you can get there quickly. No, it's... If someone thinks, well, it's been such a long time I've been chanting Hare Krishna, and still I haven't reached the perfection, there must be something wrong with the process.
Hare Krishna.
I must find another process, the shortcut, the instant spiritual progress. So if one does that, then they'll simply be cheated, that's all. Sri Rupa Goswami says devotional service is usually a continuum over many lifetimes. But Prabhupada realized that we're very impatient. And if we heard that, or we took it too seriously, we'd all become discouraged. Oh, it's going to take more than 10 years? Forget it. Yes.
You know, sometimes you meet devotees that believe in Krishna and everything, but you know, they don't take initiation. And they've been chanting Hare Krishna. And sometimes they even become very opinionated about initiated devotees chanting Hare Krishna. In other words, our experience is that sometimes I've met devotees of Krishna. They like everything about Krishna except for the devotees of Krishna. But they love the deities. They really love Srila Prabhupada. They really are just a, you know, they tend to have like an opinion as to one, a devotee that's doing the same thing and initiated, but they see so many faults. So what is the difference between one who's initiated and chanting and one who's uninitiated and chanting?
Well, there's a lot of questions rolled into one. I don't know. Well, Prabhupada writes that initiation means without being initiated by a bona fide spiritual master, then the connection, there's no connection actually with Krishna. Or at least the connection with Krishna is not really established. But initiation is not just sitting on a fire sacrifice and, you know, getting a change of name. Initiation means to actually surrender to the initiated, to the disciple's conclusion, to actually become a servant of the disciple's succession, represented by the current spiritual representatives of that disciple succession. So if one doesn't do that, it means that one is not surrendered. And we're not, Krishna will only reciprocate to some degree. I mean, love is a general term that a lot of people use. But love, people love their car, they love their wife, they love their cat and dog, and they love Krishna too. But that's not what we're talking about when we say prema. If we actually want to get to the stage of prema, you have to go adal, shada, tatasada, sangha, tyabhajana kriya, anartha nivritti syat. And according to Prabhupada, it's first there's some faith, then there's association with devotees. Then you follow the regular principles under the guidance of a bona fide representative of Krishna. So if you're not surrendered, if you don't develop that mood of service, of surrender, then you may be at the second or the first stage, but you're not going to get past the third stage.
What if you don't find anyone that you think is qualified? I mean, just by your understanding, and you don't see anyone in front of you that is capable of, that you feel is capable of taking you back home, back to Godhead.
That's all right. Then you're not going to go back to Godhead, that's all. If no one's qualified, then you're not going to make it. Of course, what is the qualifications? It's not the person qualified, but actually it's follow the instructions that take you back to Godhead. If you're surrendered to someone who's actually just giving you the instructions, coming into the civil succession, they may not go back to Godhead. But if you're actually surrendered to those instructions, then you'll go back to Godhead. It's the instructions that deliver you, not the personality. So you become 100% surrendered to the instructions in Prabhupada's books, and you follow them, and that includes becoming a surrendered servant to Krishna's representatives. And there are many varieties of them, according to, even you don't believe that you're only going to take someone, surrender to someone on the Uttama Adhikari platform, take initiation from them. But that doesn't mean those who are on the Madhyama Adhikari and the Kanista Adhikari platform, you have no relationship with them and you're not supposed to serve them. You're supposed to serve them also according to the instructions in Prabhupada's books. If you believe Prabhupada was the only Uttama Adhikari, then you serve Prabhupada's books, his instructions, and you serve all his devotees according to their level of advancement also. But without becoming a servant to Krishna and his devotees, no one's going to make very much progress. The one who doesn't see how the super soul is in everyone's heart, according to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and Srila Jiva Goswami, as explained in Prabhupada's purport, Bhagavad Gita 9, chapter 9, text number 10, 11, text 11. Then they're uselessly worshiping the deity in the temple. So yes, it may be true that you may not see anyone on a certain platform, but that doesn't exempt you from surrender somehow or another to Krishna and his instructions coming into civil succession. So if no one's on that platform, then you come to that platform by surrender to Prabhupada and his instructions, and the instructions coming from Prabhupada's representatives according to their level of attainment. And ultimately, Prabhupada also set up a society where there's authorities. There's authorities on every level. It's all meant to help us surrender. So if we can't surrender, then we're not going to make any progress. Or we only make progress according to our surrender. Anything else? Thank you very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande.